seeing their families now this. And I can just imagine the sound of all the men and their weeping. I can imagine the dismay of not knowing where their wives and their children were. I can imagine the grief that they were feeling. And the Bible says that they wept until they could weep no more, until they had no more power to weep. I could just imagine when David found his family gone, the heartache and the pressure he felt. But not just that, as a leader, he was a leader and he felt the pressure of his men also. By the way, a real leader not only mourns his loss, he mourns for those that he leads. And David was a real leader. The story goes on here that David was greatly distressed. Let's read verse number 6, and I kind of talked a lot about the story here. But verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was distressed, the pressures of his family gone, the pressures of his men's family being taken captive, the pressures of their homes being burned and destroyed. The Bible says that the people spake of stoning David. They said, let's kill David. This wouldn't have happened had we been here. Their soul was so grieved. They were already heavy. They were already weary. Now this, and their soul was so grieved. It wouldn't be surprised that maybe they made such statements as this to David. If we had been here protecting our homes, this would not have happened. That happens when you're tired. You kind of start saying things sometimes that you don't even think of saying. Maybe the finger pointing at their leader. It's all your fault, David. It wouldn't have happened had we been here. It was so bad that they spake of killing their beloved leader. And yes, they loved their leader. A few days before, they were respecting their leader. But so much of the heaviness kind of messed up their thinking. Kind of clouded their thinking of who their leader was. All they thought about was they're tired, their body's hurting, their body's tired. Now my family's gone, and now my home is ruined. Now our city's burned. What are we going to do? They had some pressure and weariness, which causes one to say things and do things they don't always mean. You know, call me naive, but and I probably am in this sense, but generally words just aren't going to rattle me. You know, I and again, maybe it's naive thought, but the truth of the matter is, if someone says something, maybe to me that maybe was to offend me, I don't take it personally. Because the truth of the matter, and I don't know what I might have entered into their life days before. I don't know what kind of phone calls that entered their life. You know, oftentimes we get offended over something that a lot of times, church, a lot of times really wasn't so. You know, well, so-and-so said this. Well, most likely they didn't mean it. And if they did, you know what? And let me say this. And if they did mean it to hurt me, you know what? I am a whole lot happier person just thinking the way that I think. You know, and the truth of the matter is, but I find out, and I've been in these cases before, you know, oh, I can't believe you said that, you know, put up a wall. I find out, in the long run, they never even meant it to hurt. How often they come to me, preacher, you know what, this happened this week, and I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean anything by it. And I've seen it, I've heard it with other people, and they never meant anything by it. But you know what, I found out that my mama got cancer this week. Had a report of cancer this week. I found out that I was going to lose my job. I found out that all this different stuff was happening in their life, and the pressure and the heaviness went ahead and caused them to say things they really didn't even mean. We ought to be very careful to pass judgment on those who may have misspoke, even said a word. Be very, very careful. But we find here in 1 Samuel chapter 36, we find a sorely distressed David. He was not just tired, but the people wanted to kill him. His family alone had been taken captive. His men's family had been taken, his city and his home had been destroyed by the enemy. David, the leader, had a lot of pressure. We're going to find out in just a moment what David does in his distress, but when we have pressure, what do we do? You see, we generally respond in two different ways. Number one, there's a wrong response. Simply because they were weary, they didn't mean it. I don't believe one second that the men said, David, we want to stone you. I don't believe that. I don't know exactly what they were thinking, but I think they were just so under pressure that they were so weary that they just said whatever came to their mind. I'm just going to be one that I don't believe they really meant that. But of course they said it. They wanted to stone their leader. They wanted to kill they cast blame on David. We have a tendency to cast blame on others. Okay, I'm talking about the wrong response. What do we do when pressure comes? Well, you have a tendency to cast blame on others or God. The very people who is equipped to help us, we like to blame. The very, a teenager, a child, you know what? You might go ahead and have a bad day or some bad thoughts about your parents, which you should never do. They're your leader. They're your mama and your daddy. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But the truth of the matter is, the very people that are equipped to help you through your little tough time, to help you through your struggle, to help you, young person, through your heartache, is mom and daddy. But you sit there, you want to rebel against them. You want to go ahead and say bad things about them behind their back. And let me just say this, young people, don't you ever come to me and say an unkind word about your mom and daddy. I'll say it again, young people, don't you ever come to your preacher and say an unkind word about your mom and daddy. I've heard it. I've even heard some of the finest so-called Christian young men, young ladies go ahead and say, well, my mom this, my dad this. No, your mom loves you, your dad loves you. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. But the truth of the matter is, there's a wrong response here. And sometimes, yes, teenagers, you may get some peer pressure and you may have pressures. And the truth of the matter is, you'll have a tendency to go ahead and blame others or God, the very people that'll help you get out of your little battle there, young person, those whom you blame. Hey, adult, let's hit us a minute. You know, we have a tendency when the pressures come, I'm talking about the wrong response here, when the pressures come, we have a tendency to say, God, this isn't fair. God, had you gone ahead and did everything you promised? You know, listen, God never promised it always be a better road. It never, never, never promised that. Look at David. David, one of the finest Christians of all. Look at the pressure he's going through right now. And David, you know what? Some people, maybe there's some here today, you're right there, saying, God, this isn't fair. Or preacher, this isn't fair. Or some other godly leader, this just is not fair. You know what? I'm going to quit. And we have a tendency to go ahead and cast blame on the very ones who are equipped to help get you out of it. You know, a preacher's counsel can and will take you a long way if you allow it. And the counsel of the Word of God can and will take you a long way out of that situation if you allow it. But oftentimes, because of all the pressure, and this is common, it's commonplace, oftentimes because of all the pressure that has fell right upon you, we have a tendency to get such cloudy vision. No, I don't think that's the answer. God, I don't think that's the answer. So what do? We end up running to worldly devices we'll talk about in just a moment. But there's a wrong response when the pressure comes into your life. You see, the devil knows where to hit us where we are the most vulnerable. That's what he'll try to do. The devil knows where to hit us where we're most vulnerable, where we will most likely bow and quit, if you will. He knows how we generally respond to pressure. So if he hits us where it hurts the most, his goal would be that we would turn on God during the tough times, or turn on godly leadership, or turn on others that are dear to us. The areas that the devil may attack are those that are dearest to you, your family, your job. We need finances, of course, to supply our needs. And he'll attack your job, and then along with that, your finances. The devil will attack you where you are most vulnerable. The thing that bothers you the most, he will pick and pick and pick and pick at until you respond the way he wants you to respond. And don't you think that we're not prone to that? Even the best of Christians are prone to that. You know, the pressures of this world could go ahead and get so heavy that we get cloudy in our thinking and say, God, I don't think there's an answer. And let me tell you something. When we get to that position, the devil says, yes. Because he knows that if you're saved this morning, he can never take your soul to hell. But let me tell you something. He wants to do everything in his power to try to make your life as displeasing to God Almighty. He'll do everything he can to cause you to quit that Sunday school class. He'll do everything he can to try to quit on your marriage. He'll do everything he can to try to keep you from walking with God. He'll do everything he can, teenager, to cause you to be rebellious against authority and your mom and dad. He'll do everything he can to have you quit on God. He'll hit you where you're most vulnerable. Now, I think that this is why, and just turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm still in my introduction, and I hope that the main part of the message, we should land here at a decent time. We should be out no later than 3 o'clock. I just wanted to see if you're awake. Somebody said, oh no, my pork is going to burn, this that's in the oven, or your bird or your turkey or whatever that you got in the oven is going to burn. But anyways, Ephesians, I got to stop talking, turning the Bible here. Okay, all right, Ephesians, and this is why, okay? He wants you to respond in the way that he wants you to. I'm talking about the devil here. Ephesians chapter 6, 11, let's just read a very familiar passage. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me just talk about David here. David knew God. David knew the source in which he could go get the strength. David, even though this was not written at the time, he had the whole armor of God. He was a godly man. He knew who to run to, if you will. And the Bible says, you know what? If you don't want to respond to the devil's antics and so forth, you know what? Every single day, whether you're in the low valley or whether you're on the mountaintop, every single day, you need to put on that whole armor of God. Why? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks, if you will, of the devil. Devil wants to do everything he can to try to trick you and try to cause fuzziness, unclear vision on God's will, and try to trick you and have you respond the way he wants you to respond. And let me tell you something, you put on that whole armor, okay, you put on the armor, you know what, then you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's why every single day, it's an everyday thing, folks. Every single day, you've got to put that armor on. Okay, when you get up in the morning, you've got to make sure that armor is on good and tight. We can read on, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, okay, here's this armor of God again. Wherefore, if you're going to go ahead and wrestle and beat the principalities and the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places, you need to, okay, wherefore, take on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Okay, so many Christians quit simply because we're armorless, or we get very lax in our Christianity, maybe especially during the good times. I'm trying to help you this morning. Especially during the good times. When things seem to go pretty smooth, you know, that's when we say, well, I'll get to my Bible if and when I get it, but I'll be in church on Sunday. When things are going pretty, the bills are paid, everything's running good, you know, everything's going really wonderful and the job's good and everything. You know, during the good times, if you will, that's when we kind of start getting lax. It's very easy to do. You know, that's when, okay, I got my armor on, but, you know, I may not put on the breastplate today. I may not take the shield of the Spirit today. I may not take the sword with me today. You know what? I'm just going to lightly, just kind of casually put on the armor. You know, sometimes that's just when things are going good, we think, well, God is blessing, things are going great. But the truth of the matter is, you know, every day, we need to put on that whole armor. Doesn't matter whether you're going through a great time or whatever time it may be, you need to put on the whole armor. Because let me tell you something, the evil day is going to come. The evil day is going to come. And you know what? The devil with his fiery darts, you know, he sees, oh, maybe you're not latched on good and tight. Oh, I forgot, he forgot his shield today. He doesn't have the helmet on today. He didn't wear his breastplate today. Well, he's got the boots on. He's got everything else on and so forth. But, you know, he forgot a piece of armor. He didn't go ahead and bother putting it on. Hey, right there. You know what? The devil's going to aim for where you're most vulnerable. He sees that little spot. And it's no wonder why we quit. It's no wonder why we get a little nonchalant about the things of God. It's no wonder during that period of the good times, if you will, we just think, well, everything's fine. God is blessing. But let me tell you something. The evil day, I wish I didn't have to preach this, but the evil day will come. The tough times are going to come. The financial problems are going to come. The illness may come. Whatever it may be, it will come. You've got to latch on that armor good and tight. When the battle comes, that automatically will trigger a response of some sort. Now the outcome of that situation generally determines how you respond to it. The outcome of whatever situation you may be facing, I don't know what heartache and so forth, you know, when I was going through that week, I mean, it just seemed like it was daily, boom, boom, boom. I said, oh. You know, and I thank God, as I've mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, I've learned to master casting your care upon the Lord. I learned that. It doesn't come easy. And I thank God, you know, because that sustains me through them tough times. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? It just seems like Monday, whew, Tuesday, whew. I mean, just kept on loading on. I kept casting it, but it just seems every day, it just seemed to have gotten heavier and heavier and heavier. And I, you know, and knowing that I need to keep that armor on good and tight and so forth, and but I thank God, you know, I knew how to respond to the situation. You see, some preachers, I've seen it, some preachers, you know, this is just not worth it. You know, I'm going to just fill out my resignation, I'm done. That's not the answer, by the way. Some Christian workers, you know, because of situations in their life, and so forth. I've seen Sunday school, Pastor, I'm done. I'm not going to teach anymore, you know, and so forth. And the truth of it, the very thing that you're quitting is the very thing that you need. And the truth is, okay, the truth is the outcome of that situation, whatever, generally determines how you respond to it. Okay? Let's say, okay, for instance, something happens in the family. Illness. Let's use illness. Along with illness comes medical bills, dealing with insurance, perhaps. Along with the bills comes a lack of a paycheck generally. Let's say if it's a husband and wife team, you both work or whatever, and one of you get really sick and so forth, and okay, well, not can't there goes a paycheck. Here comes medical bills, the pressures keep building. You see, when it was just the illness, you thought, well, I'm strong enough, my strength is going to come from the Lord, when it just seemed at the very beginning stages. But once you saw the bills coming in, you keep on saying, my strength's going to come from the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord in this. I'm going to trust, and that's good. But when things really start piling, maybe there's issues with the kids. Maybe there's other things, other weights, other things that come along the way, that now you're beginning to feel that loss of a paycheck. The bills aren't quite being met. Just many, many, many different things along with this, the pressures build. What are you going to do about it? You know, when you think about it, what are you going to do about it? You're going to keep the faith? By the way, that's the key. Or are you going to lose faith? Oh, the intentions, you know, yes, the illness came and, oh man, this is going to be tough, you know, but God, I'm going to go ahead and trust you. I'm going to trust you. But sometimes, God, our mind is not like God's. So sometimes when we feel like we're going through every single pressure here that you could ever imagine and different things are happening, and you feel like, God, are you really there? Are you really answering my prayers? God, I said from the very get-go when illness came in, I'll go ahead and trust you. But God, you don't seem to be doing it the way I would do it. We have a tendency to go ahead and say, well, I don't think God's there. So what we do, instead of keeping the faith, which is a very key, God, you know what? God's answer will come. God is doing a work in the midst of that time more than you'll ever know. But sometimes you just lose faith and you lose sight and you wonder, God, are you really there? God, I don't think you're here anymore. So what we do is we lose faith. You keep trying to do everything yourself. You try to take care of the kids and the bills and all this yourself. And what happens? You become spiritually weak because you really aren't trusting in the Lord. You kind of just start, you know, you're very casual about your Christianity and say, God, I don't know if you're really there. You're so wiped out and you're tired and you're weary, you don't really know if God is there. The problem is that we responded the wrong way. We try to carry it ourselves. That's the wrong way to respond. Good intentions will say, I will trust in God. But if God doesn't do it our way, we have a tendency to lose faith in Him. See, the devil will use stress and the pressure in life of a Christian to his advantage. He'll put all them pressures. The devil will like to have you let your guard down. He'll put all them pressures and use it for his advantage. The devil knows that as a saved person, he can't get your soul, as I mentioned, but he wants to do everything he can to cause your life to grieve God. The pressures mount up. That's why I think Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is so very important. You know, Jesus says, come unto me. Every day, you know, just when you don't feel like God, are you really answering? I'm going to get to my text in a moment, but this is just all foundation. But God, are you really answering? Are you really there? You know, He's working a whole lot more powerfully than you really think. And you need to go ahead and trust in God. You need to trust in your Christian friends to some degree that they're praying for you and so forth. But you need to really ultimately put your faith and trust in God and don't waver, because He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden light. He will bear that burden with you. But sometimes the pressures just seem to go ahead and mount up, and we just say, I don't think he's there. You know, the right way to respond, of course, is to continue following the Lord. Continue to follow the man of God. Read your Bible. Get strength from his word. Stay in the house of God. Stay on your knees in prayer. And the wrong way would be to go to the world. Find comfort in worldly devices. And this is oftentimes what happens when the pressures come. Alcohol, drugs, dropping responsibility of the struggle and not dealing with it, that is, and running from it. You know, take it head on, man. You know, it bothers me especially. You know, I've said it from time to time behind this pulpit how we need men. We really need men desperately teaching our young boys, especially, to be men. Amen. You know, we desperately need that. And, you know, but it bothers me when people just run from their problems. You know, all this happened, you know, foreclosure's going to take place, so I'm going to run from it. You know what? Hey, let's man up and go get a little extra work and keep it going. You know, do whatever it takes to meet the need. You know, I just don't, you know, it bothers me. You know, David didn't run from his problems. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. He didn't run from his problems. Example, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great New Testament Christian, he didn't run from his problems. He didn't go ahead and say, well, you know, the problems are so heavy, I'm going to go ahead and run. You know what? And he was stoned, okay? He was cast out of cities. Paul was mocked at. He was hated. You know, he was misunderstood and so forth. And he says, you know what? I'm going to keep on pressing toward the mark. I'm not going to go ahead and turn back. You know, Paul, you know, many, many good examples. Hey, let me tell you something. When the weight of that week and other pressures in my life, you know what? I'm not going to run from my problems. And what I need and what we need and what America needs today is some men who are rise up and say, you know, I'm going to go ahead and fight. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God and I'm going to fight because, you know what? You quit. What's that put in the mind of your kids? You quit. What's it do for your family? We just need to go ahead and respond the right way. Continue following the Lord. Don't find comfort in the worldly devices. Don't run to the alcohol. Don't run to the drugs. All these things that will go ahead and destroy your family. Don't drop your responsibility. Don't run to the world. Take heed. Don't take heed to ungodly counsel, but heed to godly counsel. Don't quit church. And strength will come from the preaching. Strength will come. You know, it encourages me. Just being in church.
Amen.
Really. Sunday morning, you know, I look forward to being around God's people. I was itching for Sunday. I really was. Scared to death come preaching time. I always am. So, you know. But I look forward to seeing my people. I look forward to it. I get strength from that. You know, it doesn't matter what might be on my shoulders for, you know what, that, you know, yes, God encourages me and God lifts me up. But the truth of the matter is, man, I'm around God's people. That encourages me. Don't quit the very things that will go ahead and help you. We see the wrong response. Now we see the response of a godly leader. Did David fall? Back to our text. Did David fall under pressure? No. Did David turn tail and run and quit on God? No. Did David run from the problem? No. Did David go to the world and run to the world and seek worldly devices for a reprieve? No. What did he do? He went to the right source. He sought in this verse, our text verse today, verse number 6, he sought for encouragement and strength from the Lord. When he was going through it, he knew who to run to. You know, David here, and David, let me just read the last part, of that verse. But David encouraged himself. You know what? David had a lot of pressure at this time. And you know, I don't know what it took. I don't know, I'm going to use this a minute. I don't know what it took for David to go ahead and get to that point. You know what? He came into town. He had the same pressures as men did, even more so because he had his own pressures to deal with. He came in town with the same reasons, probably wanting rest, wanting some nourishment, wanting to be with family. Now they're all gone. And I can just imagine, he says, he encouraged himself. I don't know what it took to get him to that point of where he had to get alone, but he knew who he could run to. He knew where he could go to get the encouragement. He sought for encouragement and strength from the one who could give it to him. He got to the right source. He might have been reminded himself of Psalms he had written. Psalms 18:6, for instance. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You know, he wrote that. He wrote that. And I can just imagine, you know what? It might be as a little boy, as he's writing these Psalms, God knew. Boy, it's amazing. When I go through it, you know, I refer to certain messages that I've heard. Certain messages that men of God got up and preached that have encouraged me. You know what? When I'm going through some hard, you know, I go back, I revert to some of the past messages I've heard that kind of gave me a shot in the arm. I'll listen to preaching. And you know what? David, I think in some sort of way he did that. You know, he wrote these Psalms as a young man, and now he's going through a big battle of his life. Now he's going through some heartache, and he goes ahead, and maybe as he got alone with God, as he was looking for encouragement and strength, he got to open in some of them Psalms. In my distress, I call upon the Lord. Psalm 25, 1 and 2, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 40 verses 1 and 2, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. You know, instead of him going to the world, he says, you know, I'm going to God for my encouragement. I know that God will incline his ear unto me, and he'll hear my cry. I wonder if he did what I've done several times behind the office door when the weight's so heavy. I just cried before God, wept before God. And I wonder, you know, he says here in these verses, I cried and he heard my cry, waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard my cry. I wonder if he was literally bawling and crying, God, the weight seems so heavy. I need encouragement and strength from you. Oh God, incline your ear. And God did. Because the Bible says, of course, he brought me up out of an horrible pit. And I can just imagine David right now in this text of scripture here. You know what? He was going through some of the heaviest spots of his life, a heavy portion of his life. And you know what? He knew the source to go to. Who you're running to today? You don't think God can, you know what, God can handle your problems and my problems and the whole world's problems. You know, the very God that spoke this world in existence can take care of your problem. Amen. You know, why did he go to God? Because he had a personal walk with God. No, his God. I like that. Boy, when I read that, I just read that over and over. I've read this passage so many times in life, but I just kind of hit me this week. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. That's personal. That's very personal. You know what? He had a personal walk with God. You know, all the men were against him. His wives were gone. His family was gone. His men's families were gone. His home burned with fire. The city's all in shambles. You know what? And he found encouragement in the Lord, his God. Is God personal with you? Do you walk with God? You know, well, you don't understand. I don't have to. No. God has made so much time for you. You ought to be making time for God. The very one that can help you out of your problems and the very one that will help you. No, and by the way, he may not go ahead and just put this magic potion together and spread it all over and fix it just like. It may not happen that way. I know it won't happen that way. You know what? This is a time, you know what, if you're going through it, it's time to increase your faith. This is a time for you to go ahead and look totally upon God and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. My vision's a little cloudy right now. And the preacher says, I just got to keep the faith here. I don't want to respond the wrong way because I don't want the wrong outcome here. I want to respond the right way. And right now, you know what? And maybe, you know what? Maybe you've heard all this before. And maybe today you just needed to hear it from the man of God. And today, if you're going through it, you know what? Let me just encourage you. You know what? And you might be so cloudy and you're ready to quit. Hey, let me just say, okay, so the cloudiness is there. If I can just ask you to take one piece of my advice today. Hey, you just keep on going forward for God. You keep God in the focal point. Maybe he's not real clear right now. Maybe it's not heavy right now. But you keep God in the forefront. If I can give you one piece of advice, hey, make God personal to you today. and keep him right clearly, or keep him going forward, keep him in the forefront. It may be unclear, it may be cloudy, but you just keep on going forward. Hey, David knew God. David knew God. He was personal. He got strength from his God. He got alone with his God. He sought encouragement and strength from his God. And if you're going to make it through the trials of life, you need to know God. How did David maintain his spirit through all this? I don't know how he could have done it. But you know, we know that he did. We know that he maintained a spirit, a good spirit, that is. He maintained the proper spirit. You know, I'm reminded, and the reason why I believe he was able to not get rattled by it all and maintain the right spirit was because he knew he had a personal walk with God. I'm reminded of Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day. 3 times a day. You know, I believe that in order for him to have maintained that proper spirit through the struggles he was going through, he says, man, I need God 3 times. Morning, maybe midday, and night. You know, sometimes just that 10 minutes that you get in the morning isn't going to go ahead and sustain you for the day. It might be that you got to go to work and you got to carry your Bible with you and on lunch break read your Bible to help sustain you through it. You know, get away from the so-called buddies and the lunch crowd, but you know what, during your lunch, take your sandwich with you and get alone and have God become personal. Because, you know, God was personal to David and to Daniel. Everything all right? Amen. Just as David knew his God, make his God your God, the God of heaven. God can handle your problems. Don't intensify it by running from it. Stick with God, who will bear your problem, who will help you. He sought for encouragement from God, and when he did, you know, number next, he got the answer, and he knew what to do. In verse number 8, let me read verses 7 and 8 and a few other verses. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord. Now here he was, okay, David, he inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue. Now God answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. You know, if you stick with it, I think there was a period of time here, of course, from the very time that he entered the city gates, saw everything happening. I don't know how long it took necessarily for David to get the encouragement, but during that time, and there's a few events that happened here, you know what? As he was seeking encouragement through the trial, God, what do I do? I need your strength. God gave him the answer. What do I do about it, God? God, you know, what do I do about it? My wife's gone. All this is happening. What do I do about it? And you know what? God says, pursue, go. And you know what? You're going to recover all. You know, you're here this morning. You might be going through it. Maybe you're not going through it. Maybe this is something you need to go ahead and tuck away for some time when you do go through it, this message. But we do know this, that David, he didn't run to worldly devices to get his encouragement. He had a personal walk with the God who helped him through it. He got the strength, he got the encouragement, and you know, he got the answer. He got the very answer that he needed. You know, I got thinking about this. Probably it'd been nice if God would have just done all the work and said, come on, God. David says, God, come on. You realize I'm tired? This really wasn't on my agenda. And God says, hey, go pursue it. And as we read on, let me read a few verses here. Let me just read a few. Let's just read, you know, in a way it's kind of neat. I just like
Of course, I like the story of David, and he's a mighty man anyways. But let's read number 10. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. And he did eat, and they made him drink water. Verse number 12, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. They found an Egyptian here. By the way, he's an enemy, if you will. But they found him there, and they went ahead and fed him two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he says, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. Now, who invaded them? The Amalekites, okay? So right now, here was an enemy, if you will, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. And we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. You know what? I don't think this guy knew, okay, who David was. I think it's kind of funny. You know, and David, I don't know about me. I don't care who it was. No, he may not have necessarily been the culprit, but I think I'd have wiped this guy. You know what? You're an enemy. You're done. You know, do you realize who I am? I am the leader of that city back there. You got my family. I'd have been done. But you know what? You'll see how David used this guy. David said unto him, canst thou bring me down? What restraint when you think about it. Right there's a lesson. I can't preach on it because we'll be here till 3 o'clock. But you know what? What restraint when you think about it. You think of all the pressures that he went through. You know what? Most of us, if we weren't in the right mind, we'd have taken this guy down right then. You think about it. We'd have said, you know what, buddy? You're history. You know what? You're done. You know? But David said, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God, thou wilt neither kill me, nor to deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to the, you know, please, I'll take you there, but just, please, don't kill me, okay? I can just see that. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, you know, all the people are happy, not expecting a thing. Everybody's happy, you know? The Amalekites, they're down there doing their thing and so forth and so on. Eating, drinking, dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. David recovered all. God said, I'll recover all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Listen, you know, I hope... Let me just get off on. I hope this will be a video I can watch in heaven. I really do. I mean, I like that action stuff anyways, you know, and I can just see, you know, David, of course, the story, there's a good, you know, he was constrained. He didn't kill the enemy, but he says, the enemy, don't kill me, but I'll take you there, and I'm going to just leave me alone. So David gets there. And of course, the amount, not even having to go, they're eating, drinking, they're excited, they're just doing, they've got all this spoil that they've stolen and so forth and so on. And of course, David, what a sight this must have been, smote them from the twilight, early morning, about 2 days. You know, David went in there, just started banging people up, man. You know, hey, you say, well, God's not violent. Well, you know, pretty clear right here. God, you know, tells us what we have to do to go ahead and take care of evil. Amen? But anyways, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? He recovered all. God gave him the answer. David went in there. Obviously, this wasn't on his agenda, as I was alluding to a moment ago. This wasn't on his agenda. God, you know what? You could snap your fingers, and you could fix Ziklag, and you could get my wives back, and I could get some rest. You know, sometimes even when we are going through it and we're so weary, God says, you know, I need you to do one more job. If you're going to go ahead and get, okay, if you're going to get what you deserve, sometimes you got to go a little bit further. Sometimes you got to go a little bit. You know what? David, you know, he says, after God said pursue, you know, some people would said, I got my encouragement, but this wasn't exactly what I thought. I got my strength. This wasn't exactly. I thought maybe God would do something. You know what? Some people would have said, God, now, you know what, I'm getting encouragement, I came to you tell me to pursue, I'm too tired for this, God, But David said, no, okay. See, it shows, again, his personal walk. He knew that God knew what he's talking about. He knew that by placing all his faith on God, yes, he was weary. His men were, 200 men couldn't even go with him because they were so tired. But he went on. He followed God's plan, God's will, and God gave him back everything. God will give you what you need. I don't know about you today, but where are you at? I kind of maybe threw a lot of things in here this morning, but where are you at? What a story when you think about it. David, all the pressures. Did he run the world? No. Did he turn tail and quit? No. He was distressed. I think he got alone with God. I don't know how long it took, but he encouraged himself and the Lord, his God. And that's what's going to take. Going through it this morning, get a personal walk. Get a personal walk with God. Going through it this morning, get in the book. Read the Bible. Get to know God. Get on God's page, if you will. Don't quit. Don't decide, hey, I want to go to the world. God, you're not there. You know, God is there, and it might be the very time that you quit. If you go just a little bit further, I've seen this happen so many times, just about the time that the blessing or the reprieve was going to come, just before that time we quit. Just about the time that we were going to see turn the corner on this, we kind of just quit. Hey, don't do it. Don't quit on God. God knows. He wants to put you in his hand. He wants to lead you. Let him lead you and guide you. What was it? David got encouragement from the right source. He knew the right source. He had a personal walk with God. God gave him what he needed, and he followed God's plan. Sometimes God's plan isn't always what we want it to be, but follow it. Whatever it is, you just need to go ahead and decide, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm too tired. I can't believe that you want me to keep pursuing. I'm tired here, God, but I'm going to go ahead and follow you. I'm going to go ahead and let you lead me by the hand, because you promised you'd recover all. So, God, I'm going to place all my faith in you. I'm going to trust you. So, here, God. And you know what? He got all back. He received the blessing. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord, you encourage my heart in preparing this. And I'm quite sure that in this crowd, there's some heavy hearts this morning. I don't know what it is, but you do, and they do. I pray, dear God, whatever it is, maybe they're here today, they were just at the verge of turntailing and running and quitting. I pray because of your word today that you revived them, God. I pray today that they'll realize, yes, there is hope, and that hope is continually in God, in Jesus Christ. I pray, dear God, whatever it is that needs to be dealt with this morning, whatever encouragement needs to be bestowed upon somebody today, that it'll be done, Holy Spirit. Lord, I didn't talk much about salvation this morning, but maybe there's someone here today, God. They don't know for sure they're saved. They don't know for sure that they have a home in heaven. I pray, dear God, that before they leave this place, Faith Baptist Church, that they'll know Jesus as their Savior. Maybe they feel empty and they don't know how to get the encouragement and the strength from God simply because Jesus is not living in their heart. And as a result, they don't know for sure they're going to heaven. I pray, dear God, if there's a lost soul here today, they don't know Jesus as personal Savior, that they'll walk down the aisle and decide today is going to be the day of salvation. God, I pray that you'd bless this invitation time in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I don't know where you're at. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know where you're at today. Let's just stand to our feet. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. What do you need encouragement in today? What is it? What is it? Devil been picking at you. You know, he knows where is most vulnerable in your life. Been a little lax the armor is a little loose. The devil found that little spot, and you're weakened today. You should decide today, you know, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to latch this armor on. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep going forward. I'm not quitting. Need encouragement today about a burden? Why don't you just lay it at the altar today and give it to Jesus? Not sure you're saved? Don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Why don't you just decide today? Today is going to be the day of salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music is going to play. Won't you respond? What weight are you bearing this morning? You don't have to leave here with that same weight. You don't have to leave here with that same struggle in your life. You can come just drop it at the feet of Jesus and he'll be there for you. That's it. What burden do you need lifted? Why don't you just say, Jesus, here. Under some pressure, intense pressure, do as David did. He encouraged himself, and the Lord is God.